Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Trigger warning. This podcast contains descriptions of various abusive situations. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to the Preacher Boys podcast, a podcast shedding light on decades of mental, physical, and sexual abuse within the independent fundamental Baptist movement. The testimonies shared on this podcast are told from the personal experience and perspective of the survivors. Not all legal outcomes are known or final. Any suspect is presumed innocent until proven guilty in the court of law. Now, here is your host, Eric Skwarzynski.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Preacher Boys podcast. Today, I'm sitting down with my good friend, Andrew Pledger, to talk about his brand new podcast called Beyond BJU. I had Andrew on the show a couple of years ago, and it's been incredible seeing him develop as an advocate over the last couple of years. And on today's episode, we talk about his reflections on doing his first podcast on Bob Jones University, what it was like talking with so many different survivors from the school, and what he's learned personally on his journey out of fundamentalism. You're not going to want to miss a single second. And be sure to check out Beyond BJU wherever you listen to podcasts. All right, let's get into today's show. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Preacher Boys podcast. Andrew, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me, Eric. I've been really looking forward to this conversation.
If I'm incorrect, I've been thinking wrong all this time. I think I was the first podcast that you went on, like,
You were in the beginning, like one of the first few, definitely. I know I was thinking about that yesterday. I was like, oh my gosh, 2 years ago when I was just excommunicated from fundamentalism, like you were one of the few podcasts. And I think I talked a little bit about the IFB, my upbringing, and then the Bob Jones fashion show controversy. Yeah. I think that's what we talked about. I was thinking about that yesterday. I was like, wow, like it's just blowing my mind. It's been 2 years already.
Yeah. And that's why I bring it up. Like the fashion show controversy brought us together. And then seeing everything that's happened since then has been really cool. And I was telling you before we hit record, when you kind of announced that you were going to cover Bob Jones specifically, I was very supportive because I like you. Like I always tell Ashley Easter when we're together, I'm like, I like Andrew. Like, he's just a cool dude. And, but then when you announced like doing just Bob Jones, I was like, is there going to be enough content? Like, that's super niche. Like, my show's niche. Is this going to be something that people are going to listen to? Is it something that's going to have enough content? And it certainly seems like there is. Like, Bob Jones seems to be the gift that keeps on giving when it comes to trauma related content. So, tell me a little bit about just doing the first iteration of this kind of Bob Jones expose and what has surprised you and what has been unsurprising to you through that process.
Yeah. So I think it was around, this is crazy to me. I started planning a limited podcast called Surviving Bob Jones University, a Christian Cult. I started planning that actually a year ago. It was February, late February of 2023. I was doing that. And it was just, it is something that had been on my mind for a while, but I was hesitant about it. I was like, do I have the skills? Do I have the emotional strength to do that? Like, can I get myself through my own trauma and all these other people's traumas? But I don't know. I just felt this. I thought about it for a while. I went back and forth. Should I do it? Should I not? And I decided to because I just felt this strong inner calling to it, and no one else had really done anything like that regarding to Bob Jones, like any kind of expose. I couldn't find any documentary. I couldn't find any other podcast dedicated to it, only like podcast episodes where some survivors would share their stories. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to cover Bob Jones University and do it from the perspective of it from being a cult. And it's something, yeah, I worked on it, like, I think, started it February 2023, and then it launched in August of 2023. And I was really, really glad that it actually, it did a lot better than I thought it would. I mean, I'll admit it. I knew when I did it, I'm like, I'm going to do everything I can to promote the hell out of this. Like, everything I have in me, all the connections I've had, all the resources, I'm going to do what I can. And thankfully, I connected with two reporters who decided to pick up the story. The first person to pick it up, which I'm so glad they did, was, you know, for Greenville News, which is a big deal because Greenville News has always been biased towards Bob Jones University for just right. since the paper started. And so thankfully, you know, there were people connected to Bob Jones who had always cut those stories, but they're gone. So, you know, the community was able to be aware, like Bob Jones has always been that weird place in Greenville where they would look at it and be like, what the fuck is that? Like, that just seems like such a strange place. But I'm sorry, what was your question? I feel like I'm going on a tangent.
No, you're good. I was just curious what was like most surprising, which, you know, obviously from the production side, like having listeners is always surprising. Cause I think no matter now, you know, like, but even when I started my show, like I was like, oh, I hope like 100 people listen to this by the end of the year. Like that was like the big lofty goal was like, I hope like some people I know will listen and then maybe a couple that I don't. And so I know like just people being interested is like always a welcome surprise, no matter how much you plan for it. But I'm curious, like as you dug into Bob Jones specifically, like you obviously were familiar with it from a firsthand perspective, like what was it that surprised you digging into it or hearing people's stories? And was there some things that were like confirmation that were unsurprising to you that were like, oh yeah, I'm not the only one that experienced that?
Yeah, I think the thing that was surprising to me, which it was really what I was unaware of, was just the extent of control that they had over faculty.
Yeah.
Erin Birchwell, I was really just shocked by her story of her experience growing up as a faculty kid.
Yeah.
And how Bob Jones controlled every aspect of their lives, like completely. Like they lived, you know, at Bob Jones their entire lives and yeah. down to controlling how many children they had, to where they got their medical care, to where they ate, and just the church. They had this, all these different aspects of their lives. And, you know, they had to work at Bob Jones and nowhere else. So they're purposely made to be completely dependent on this system of control. And so just, and also I think the horrible stories from Barge Hospital that Bob, like that was just, ooh, that was really hard. And I was yeah. really shocked because when I got to Bob Jones, the Barge Hospital, it was there, but it was closed. It had been closed for probably a decade at that point, just a yeah. building sitting there. I think another thing I was shocked by, which I didn't know about, is again, it's like you're surprised to hear about it, but then you're not, but about the promise that Bob Jones made to faculty who dedicated their lives. They were promised, we're going to take care of you through your retirement. And it turns out they couldn't keep that promise. And so they exploited these faculty members for their labor and then kicked them to the curb when they were no longer needed anymore and didn't have any more resources. So that was something. I think another thing that surprised me was Bob Jones having access to a private jet. I just didn't realize they had enough money to do that. And Pettit and his team would use that a lot. And it was something that was supposed to be hush hush. But thankfully, a survivor, it was Erin Birchwell who was happily revealed that information.
Yeah.
Because people think that Pettit is so different from the Joneses, but he gets this massive salary, and these faculty members were getting nothing, really, like hardly anything. And the other thing too is just like, I'm so curious about the art at Bob Jones University, like how they got it, and now they're kind of just hiding it away from the public, being very secretive about it. That's something I'm really curious about too. A thing that I was not surprised by, you know, doing the podcast, which is hearing it just all about the victim blaming
yeah.
that happens a lot. And it's something that I've experienced since doing the podcast. You know, I do this whole expose on this school, and then Bob Jones people's response are, you shouldn't have gone there. You right. shouldn't have gone there. Why did you go there? And it's like, that's not the point that I'm like, it's more, it's not about me. Yeah. Like, there's so many people across so many backgrounds who've had horrible experiences yeah. at this school.
Yeah. I'm curious, you mentioned a little while ago bias, and this is something that, you know, comes up in these conversations all the time. It's like, oh, you are just out for this reason. You're just out for revenge. You're just trying to pick at the worst things. And you're, you know, I receive that criticism all the time. I've seen you receive it on your posts or in reviews. And it, you know, it's one of those things that confounds me, is like, how come any criticism just is marked as like, hey, it's just bias. Like, it's just anger. It's just this, when the stuff you're pointing out is objectively bad and like clear to see. So I guess coming from that perspective, like, you're obviously hosting people who are not fans of Bob Jones University. You yourself are not a fan of Bob Jones University. But I'm curious, like, in crafting the show itself, were you crafting it in a way where, okay, someone who does like Bob Jones could listen to it and be persuaded a certain way? Or were you not even making it for them? Was it like, this is a podcast for those who've left and understand already how rough this is?
Yeah, I would say it's the latter one. I did this for survivors. Really, I wanted survivors to be seen, heard, and understood, and just validated in general. And really, like, the podcast, someone did a review that they liked Bob Jones, but they understood the purpose. They had that ability to have that grade. They were like, you know what? They're like, I didn't experience something bad, but I know a lot of people who did. And this podcast really covers what's wrong with BJU, all the issues. That's the point. And I remember having a conversation with someone, to me, because I'm like, you know what? It doesn't matter to me. I don't care if the supposed good or whatever Bob Jones has really done, just because of, like, it doesn't cancel out all the harm. It doesn't change what happened.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you know, in that environment, they're like, oh, like, no one's perfect. No institution is perfect. I get so frustrated by it. And I think what makes me so angry when I hear that now is, you know, I read the Grace Report. It was like a requirement to really do the podcast, but I read the Grace Report and I'm like, these are not people being imperfect. These are not people who are like, oops. You know, we talked before about, like, the word falling. Oh, they fell or whatever. These are people who are abusing their power and they're enjoying it. And so when we get to the point where we prioritize power, where we prioritize the reputation of a place instead of doing the right thing, so much harm can happen. And so for me, it's been a long time coming for Bob Jones University to be exposed, like, just for decades.
Yeah.
And they have not done the right thing. So obviously the podcast is biased to what's wrong with BJU. It needs to be exposed. But again, like I said, I would argue that the good doesn't really matter to me. Was it really worth it, that supposed good, for all these horrible things that have happened? And it has destroyed people's lives. Like, I just have so many DMs of people saying, like, you know, I'll never be the same because of what I experienced at this university.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's one of those things too, like, the amount of positive press exists, you know, like, there's plenty of good, like, hey, here's this great thing that this organization did. I think the expose of the bad is necessary. And I think you hit on something important with the Grace Report specifically, is that the Grace Report, so this is something that's come up on the show a lot, but this idea that, you know, bad things happen everywhere. And that's the default kind of response to this, is like, well, this happens everywhere. This happens in, you know, regular colleges. And yes, like, is there issues with rape on campus in every single college? Like, yes, there's major documentaries about that topic. There's, you know, there's issues in any business with more than 200 employees. Some of those are going to be not great people. And I think the issue is, though, is that within this environment specifically, Bob Jones University, when the Grace Report was done, was given suggestions on what to do next. like, hey, you had this issue, you've had this culture, and maybe if you want to give them, for lack of a better word, grace in this area, you could say they've never had to deal with it, so they didn't understand it. They, you know, they were misinformed, they were uneducated. Well, now all those excuses are gone. Like, the education's there, they know what to do, and they were given a list of clear step-by-step recommendations for what to do next, and they basically crumpled it in a ball and threw it in the trash. And so from there on out, I think it sets a really clear visual of like what their intention is. And it's certainly not to help people who've been harmed. It's just to keep the doors open and keep moving forward. I'm going to get you back into today's episode in just a moment, but first I want to thank the sponsor that is making today's episode possible, and that sponsor is Factor. Factor creates no prep, no mess meals. You can meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, no matter how many podcasts you're recording, going up and down the stairs, trying to take meetings, whatever you're doing, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. And I can say this from experience. They were kind enough to send me a couple of meals for this week, and I enjoyed one just shortly before reading this ad, and it is amazing. And with 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. You can make your day delicious from breakfast to dessert and stay fueled with easy, nutritious options. And these aren't meals that skimp on quality either. You've got things like filet mignon, shrimp, blackened salmon, and so much more. So if you want to try it, go head over to factormeals.com/preacherboys50 and use code preacherboys50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code preacherboys50 at factormeals.com/preacherboys50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Go check out Factor, and now check out the rest of this episode.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. And one thing I want to say to it, which has been on my mind a lot, is it kills me when these people dedicated to these organizations come out and say, well, this is like this everywhere, or here, here, and here. And I want to say, oh, so you're admitting to me that you're not different from the outside world. You're not set apart, because you all claim to be so different, and not like, oh, well, you know, it's like this everywhere. Well, it's like, okay, well, then you're not different.
Yeah,
you're not like, please.
Yeah. Well, I think that's funny. I get that complaint sometimes where people go like, look at Hollywood. And I'm like, you guys are really the same as Hollywood in your eyes. That's your role model, huh? But it's a really concerning thing. And that was one of the things that made me struggle with that religious kind of group, is that they claim to be radically transformed and that we are new creatures, but they look like every creature that you ever encounter anywhere. And sometimes like the worst of some of those creatures. So, I'm curious, like, stepping into the new show, and like, because you had done this kind of mini series exposing it, which, you know, was like a big, you know, I'm sure in many ways, a big learning experience about the college, about even putting a show together, like about interviewing people, like all of the strange things within survivor worlds that get a little dramatic at times. And, you know, I'm curious, going into this new show, which is going to, it looks like, is going to be diving into some of the churches that have been offshoots of Bob Jones and things of that nature. Is it just more of the same? Is it broadening the horizons? Is it narrowing in on something? Like, what's the difference with this new series versus what's existing right now?
Yeah. So with Surviving Bob Jones University, it focused just on the experiences and the culture of the university itself. And I honestly thought, Eric, that that was it. I was going to do that and be done and not mess with Bob Jones anymore and not dig deeper into it. As I got to the end of it, I had so many more people saying, oh, I really want to share my story. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I'm done with, like, it's a mini series. It's done now. And so towards the end, I had a list of 40 people who wanted to share their stories. And I was like, and, you know, and some of them weren't just at Bob Jones. They were at a Bob Jones affiliated church or Bob Jones affiliated Christian camp. And really what I learned, and which I really knew as I researched it, is, you know, Bob Jones' influence and culture influences so much just beyond the university itself. So the continuation of Surviving Bob Jones is my new podcast called Beyond BJU, Exposing Fundamentalism. And it's really going to examine its influence beyond the university itself. And it's, I'm still going to have survivors talk about their experiences at the university, but, you know, more of the focus will be the churches, the Christian camps, really digging into their biblical counseling a lot deeper and how that influenced biblical counseling in other areas. And there's someone at Bob Jones named Jim Burke who has caused so much harm. And we're going to do a lot of deep diving into a lot of his teachings and the way that he has treated people and how, so different areas of influence, and even like getting into politics, probably some too. That's something I'm realizing, it's Bob Jones' influence on politics. So people might look at these fringe places and think, oh, that hasn't influenced my life. Oh, I bet you it has, most definitely. And that's what Beyond BJU is about, is showing its influence beyond that university into the outside world.
Yeah. And Jim Burke is the guy that runs all of their counseling classes, right? Like, he was like, and he was more like an SBC guy.
I don't know if he does that as much anymore. I know Mazak, he's a guy who does a lot of the biblical counseling, but Berg has just, oh my gosh, I think I have the book here, but it's called Changed Into His Image. It's the book he's known for, just about like discipleship and counseling. But it's just, he has influenced the biblical counseling classes, and he was a biblical or a counselor. And I say counselor in air quotes, like anyone who's listening, counselors in air quotes throughout all of this. And he, I think it was recommended that like Jim Burke not talk on campus anymore or have his teaching.
Yeah, Grace mentioned him specifically in their report. I remember him being a prominent name in that.
Yes, prominent. He has caused so much harm in victim blaming and re-traumatizing survivors. And I was really upset because I can't remember what the press is called, like maybe PNR Press. They republished a new edition of his book, Changed Into His Image. And me and a bunch of other survivors, we all like spam sent them emails of just like, hey, the Grace Report says this, like, why are you publishing this guy? Why are you giving him more influence? So that's another area, like, oh, I cannot wait. That's to like dig into Jim Burke and his teachings and his sermons and just all the harm that he has caused.
Yeah. 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 It's definitely something that as you start digging into these stories, you start looking at that ripple effect, right? Like where it's, you know, okay, there's this kind of main piece of this, which is the university in your case. And then it's like, you get into the churches, the books, like all of the things where even people who would say, you know, oh, we're not really affiliated with them, but like their private Christian school uses their textbooks and like what's filtered into it. And so I think that's going to be really fascinating to see kind of the, like when you extrapolate everything out into like its furthest reaches, like where does it go? And it's a fun high wire act to try to like keep in that realm, but also cover all of the like extraneous things that you want to talk about. And I know that's something like now, like going in like 4 years of this is like, oh, there's these things that I would have said feel too far outside the range of what I talk about. But then you realize like, oh, this is all the same stuff. It's just a lot further reaching and deeper than I expected kind of starting the show. There's been some big changes within Bob Jones since you released your podcast. I mean, Stephen Pettit obviously resigned. I did a couple episodes talking about that very bizarre kind of power struggle within Bob Jones at that point. You know, what do you see at Bob Jones right now? Like, where do you see it sitting? Like, from people that you're hearing from, because I'm sure you're hearing from some current people. Like, what's the vibe you're getting from the school now? Because to me, it just seems like they've kind of stalled in this, like, and they're kind of just sitting trying to maintain what they were while rejecting any kind of like outside change, even from someone like Pettit, who I know people aren't massive fans of, but it seemed like he was a bit of a step in a different direction, at least whether the direction is positive or not. It seems like he was the fact that he was outside of kind of that world seemed at least like, hey, this will kind of shake us loose a little bit. But where do you see where it's sitting now? And what are you hearing about the current state of Bob Jones?
Yeah, so Bob Jones claims to be searching for a new president, but a lot of us survivors really think that Alan Benson, Alan Benson, I think Alan Benson is controllable. And, you know, I think he is going to end up most likely being the next president of Bob Jones University. And if he's not, I'm really curious to who they're going to get.
He's the acting president right now.
He is the acting president right now, like the interim, I guess you would say, type president. So we'll see if they'll make him the official president or not. I'm curious to see what comes out of that. But yeah, with Pettit, there was just a lot of infighting in that culture. Mm-hmm. Again, like the old versus the new, you know, and fundamentalism, they want to preserve the past so much and their version of what they think should be preserved, and they see it as absolute truth, you know, all these legalistic rules that they have. And so when you stray away from that, they just have this, they follow this slippery slope fallacy. Like you know, they love the word compromise. You compromise here, you know, you give way here, all these horrible things are going to happen. So with Pettit coming in, you know, when I went to Bob Jones University in 2018, women were wearing pants to class for the very first time. Like, for fundamentalism, that is quite a step. And I know that's hilarious to a lot of people, but like for women to wear pants in that, like that is a lot. And so that caused different IFB churches and really more extreme fringe groups to just be like, no, we're not sending your, and they were like protest also about that change at the university by these just crazy fundamentalists outside the university saying just they're going in a wrong direction. And so I think Pettit trying to like, you know, I've never been a big fan of him, but I think he tried to lessen some of the rules a little bit. And my thing with that too is that, okay, you know, you're lessening the rules. But what really made that culture, or one of the things that made that culture horrible, was just the snitching that went on and just the spying. And so it was still such a toxic thing. But yeah, so there was a lot of infighting. And if they can't agree at all, like the university is going to fall apart. And so again, when you don't fit perfectly into their mold, they want you out. You're nothing to them. And that's what happened with Pettit. You know, they felt he wasn't controllable. He wasn't fitting their mold anymore. It wasn't preserving what they thought should be preserved of the past. And so, yeah, they got rid of him. It was a mess, but they got him out. And you know what? They're going to try to turn the university into what they want. You know, these people behind the scenes, the board of trustees, these fundamentalists who want to go back. But that's not what the students want. And so they're very out of touch. And I think, honestly, they would rather have the university shut down than see it move in a more progressive or a different direction.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that the current leadership is controllable, which that adjective leads me to go, by who? Like, who's controlling? Do you just think that's the board? Like, who do you think is like running Bob Jones essentially?
I mean, I think a lot of people know that the board of trustees have a lot of influence and there are secret donors. So I think there are donors behind the scenes with a lot of money. And I think that was, in my opinion, with the fashion show controversy stuff, which if people aren't familiar, go listen to Eric's episode with me and him talking about that. But, you know, I was shocked to see Pettit just publicly throw this student under the bus on his Facebook. And some people were like, there was speculation that the board made him do that. So he was controllable to a point, I think, until Pettit, you know, he would no longer be manipulated by them. So I think there are people behind the scenes with a lot of money saying, if you don't do this, this, or this, we're not donating anymore. This is not the mission that we support. That's what I'm speculating about. And I think, you know, there are these leaders who are up there saying these things, but I think a lot of students know, you know, it's really the board and other donors who are controlling and manipulating the direction of the school.
Right. Did you see Stephen Pettit's going on the Recovering Fundamentalist podcast?
I did not.
I was curious if you saw that. I was surprised, and I thought about it literally, like, because we had already scheduled this conversation, and then I was like looking at I was looking at social media and then going like, oh shoot, they're having him on as a special guest.
Special guest
very soon. Mm-hmm. So I think that'll be interesting. I mean, I'm not to derail this conversation. I'm very much trying to figure out what the end game of like the RFP universe is. 'Cause like, I was surprised when I saw his name pop up, and then like, it just seems like for how much they're trying to shift away from fundamentalism, like they're still anchored into that world so much. I don't know. But I'm curious to hear that interview, and I was hoping that it would drop before we had this conversation, because I'm sure there'd be some good fodder with it. But yeah, I mean, I guess my kind of like question as far as BJU goes, like, and I may have asked this first time we talked, I don't remember, but there's a lot of things that are just clearly not changing and that have been there forever. And like the things that have changed aren't really, you know, like, oh, now we will allow the blacks and the whites to marry, you know, like very progressive thinking in the 2000s, and, you know, girls can wear pants. Like these are some little shifts. My question would be, is there something Bob Jones could do at this point to truly change? Or do you think there would always be doubt around their intentions moving forward at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting because I have thought about this some. And the thing with these authoritarian environments is they don't want to listen to you. They don't care. Their way is the only way you listen, you obey, and you go along with what they say. And, you know, they justify it through God. I mean, I think a step in the right direction would be to listen to the Grace Report survivors. I know Aaron Birchwell has wanted that, and a lot of them really haven't, and they're just, I've been very dismissive about that. But I think, you know, they would have to give up wanting absolute control over aspect of everyone's lives. And like, that's, they wouldn't do that, because that's the point of the university, is to have control over every aspect of your life and to mold you into what they believe. And, you know, Bob Jones, they talk about like wanting to grow your spirituality, but it's not really spiritual growth when you're forced into this box and you have to come to the same conclusions as them. I think to see it in a better direction, it would be a direction where they would be like, oh, like we have to shut down the university. This is not what we wanted at all. Yeah. But I think if they would actually listen and care for survivors, I would have hope for it. Like, legitimately listen. But I don't think that would happen.
Yeah. I was just curious. Because it's something people have asked me, where it's like, you know, what would you like to see happen? Or like, what could... And it's such a weird thing to think about, because it's like the bar is so low, like especially when it comes to issues like sexual abuse. It's like setting aside all the other issues, like that bar is so low, and we can't do the baseline right thing there, like before we move into anything else. That's kind of that first step. I think I think for me, what you just said kind of hits the nail on the head, where I struggle with the existence of educational institutions that only teach one perspective. Like, for me, I think that's kind of the biggest issue with like a Bob Jones, a West Coast, a fill in the blank, Hiles Anderson, is that you go in to be indoctrinated into their thing. They want to advance your spirituality, but that means we want you to be more like us and more like our existing leadership. And I think the fact that you can get in trouble for researching other perspectives while in a college where you're supposed to learn, to me, like, I don't know how you, again, setting aside all spiritual things, I don't know how you redeem that as an educational institution, because you're not educating at that point. You're indoctrinating. And I don't think a place that's just doing that has a right to exist. That's mm-hmm. just my take on the Bible college kind of conversation in general. But.
Yeah. And like, it's frustrating because then people will say, oh, well, you made a choice to go there. You know, people should be, but a lot of people don't have that choice,
sure.
really, because you're born to these fundamentalist families who then have control over every aspect of your life also. And, you know, it's interesting because what I learned while I was at Bob Jones is, you know, you research other perspectives to dismiss them, and you look through them through that fundamentalist lens. It's, you have the truth and everything else is of Satan. And even for some Bible classes, I was like, oh, all I have to do is write this paper and confirm all their biases, and, you know, and I'll get, you know, an A on this. Like, that's just what I have to do. And that's what I did. And oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I remember their science class, how they, oh my God, they would just twist everything that was said through the lens of a fundamentalist perspective. Oh, well, how can we explain why all of, you know, why these stars have all these light years? You know, well, let's go to the Bible. And like, I would do assignments where you go to a Bible verse to prove something to be true in science. And I was just like, no, this is not how this works. It's not how this works at all.
It's a really like anti-intellectual approach. And to Bob Jones' credit, they're probably the most intellectual of the fundamentalist Bible colleges.
Sadly, yeah.
Yeah. But that's like when you're comparing that to how rough some of the other Bible colleges are. Yeah. So, I'm really fascinated to see where this goes, and really interested to see you kind of dive deeper into that conversation. Like, I know talking with you, talking with Aaron, like it's for me been very eye-opening to see some of these issues, and has put Bob Jones on my radar a lot more. Because to be honest, like when I started the show, I had like the Hiles Anderson colleges, you know, or the Golden States, where it's like, there's clearly some messed up stuff. Like places like Bob Jones, like my impression starting the show was like, well, Pensacola's weird, but you know, they don't have that many issues now. Like, it's just weird preference stuff. Like, Bob Jones was really bad, but now they have this guy petted in there. Like, in my mind, it was like one of those things, like, I might touch on it like as past history, but like, there's nothing to really talk about. And like everything with the show, like the more I talk to people from Pensacola, or the more I talk to people from here, or the more I talk to people from Bob Jones, it's like, oh, there's a lot more under the hood here to take a look at. And so I'm interested to see that and kind of benefit from that research as well, as I keep moving forward. I guess in a sentence, like if you said, hey, every time I hit record on the microphone, every time I release an episode, every time that I do something related to this podcast, my overarching goal is blank. Like, what would you say that is for you moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it would still be that survivors are seen, heard, and understood. And I think also that people, again, are aware of what is going on at all these BJU-affiliated organizations.
Yeah, man, I'm really looking forward to the show coming out. You can go subscribe over on YouTube and to the podcast Beyond BJU, Exposing Fundamentalism, wherever they listen to shows. Who's the first episode? What's the first episode you're dropping?
Yeah, I have been going back and forth on that. And oh my gosh, yeah, I think right now I'm having Dr. Camille Lewis come on to talk about like the history and the teachings more in depth, because she had so much more that I could ever research on my own, because she's done it for over a decade. So yeah, this, and I think the first week I'm actually going to have like at least three episodes released, probably the first day. So people can have several episodes to listen to. So, and one of them, I might turn people away, so I might not say it, but there's going to be some really good episodes that there, these are stories that people are telling for the first time and other people have not heard. So that's why I'm so excited for this podcast, for survivors to be heard, but also for people to hear these stories for the first time.
Yeah. Well, definitely, if you're listening right now, the feed is already up. So go subscribe, leave a 5-star rating and review, and, you know, check out the episodes. And it's going to be really interesting, I think, getting a deeper look into this world. So thank you so much, Andrew, for coming on. I'm going to have you come on after maybe after the first year of the show or something, or first 6 months, see what the feedback's been and what you've taken away that's new and interesting from the series. But thank you so much for joining me again. It's always a pleasure, and hope to meet again really soon.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on, Eric.
Thank you for listening to the Preacher Boys podcast. If you appreciated the content on the show, please leave a review on iTunes, and don't forget to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter with the handle @PreacherBoysDoc.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.